You are tuned into the Dr. Tina Show with Dr. Tina Moore. For more, visit drtina.com. On this episode of the Dr. Tina Show, I'm doing a quick and dirty episode all about Ozempic babies. Let's jump in to some of the data around fertility, GLP-1s, and all of the questions that I'm getting. I'm going to answer them here today on this episode. If you've been a listener of the Dr. Tina Show for any amount of time, then you know how much I love beef. Beef is truly a superfood. It's chock full of so many nutrients that you can't readily find elsewhere. It's low allergen and it's relatively easy to digest. Plus, when it's fermented, like in my favorite snack, Paleo Valley Beef Sticks, these nutrients become even more bioavailable. So I think of Paleo Valley Beef Sticks as not only my favorite snack food, but little portable nutrient-rich packets of protein. The other reason I love them is because these beef sticks are made with 100% grass-fed and finished beef that comes from small American-owned farms that practice rotational grazing. Rotational grazing is when farmers literally rotate the pastures in which their cattle graze, so they aren't feeding on the same soil forever, which can lead to nutrient depletion in the soil and the cattle. This makes the meat in Paleo Valley beef sticks even more nutrient rich. And they use old world methods of fermentation, which gives the beef sticks a long shelf life without the use of harmful acids and chemical preservatives. These are portable, nutrient rich, and clean little packets of protein that you, your kids, and your grandkids will love. So keep them on hand. I've got Paleo Valley beef sticks literally stashed everywhere in case of emergency. You can save 15% off right now on your first order by heading over to paleovalley.com/Dr. Tina. So I admittedly am not big on skincare. I'm nearly 50, and to say that I've slacked on my skin is a total understatement. I've recently noticed some changes, however, that I'm not loving, and so I finally decided to get serious. A few months ago, I reached out to my buddy Andy, the CEO and founder of Alatura Naturals, and asked him to help. He sent me the complete skincare line, and if you've not heard of Alatura yet, let me introduce you to the most natural and luxurious lotions and potions to ever grace my face. Alatura is handcrafted natural skincare. Their mission is simple: to provide customers a skincare wellness experience with products made of superior natural ingredients packed with nutrients, minerals, and natural growth factors. Alatura is the line I've been looking for, and it checks off all the boxes for me. It's all natural, it's cruelty-free, it's non-toxic, it's non-GMO, and it is organic when possible. My absolute favorites are the clay mask to detoxify and really heal my skin, as well as the night cream to boost collagen and deeply moisturize. The night cream also triples as an eye and lip balm, and a little bit goes a long way. Honorable mentions are the Pearl Cleanser and the absolutely heavenly Gold Serum. You can literally feel the magic of the Gold Serum immediately upon application. It's that good. Because I believe everybody should try Alatura, I've partnered with them, and listeners of the Dr. Tina Show can save 20% off your first order by heading to alatura.com. That's Alitura.com. And be sure to use code Dr. Tina at checkout for the discount. That's Dr. Tina with a Y. Or simply click the link in the show notes. You're going to love it. All right, so the first thing that I get asked is, are these GLP-1 agonists like Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, are they safe during pregnancy and breastfeeding in particular? Because I know a lot of you, like myself, have a baby, having a hard time getting the weight off. Are they safe? I'll tell you what the medical establishment at large is suggesting. I am not your doctor. I am not giving you medical advice. I'm going to tell you what I have found. So we don't have enough data to know if these are safe during pregnancy, and we don't have enough data to know if they're safe during breastfeeding. So I personally would hold off, but you do you and you follow your doctor's recommendations. Obviously, you have to have a prescription to get these. And if you're getting them elsewhere, I don't know, that's anyone's bet. But if you're not working with somebody who's licensed and who understands health on a deep level, then please be careful, because we don't have any data on pregnancy and we don't have any data on breastfeeding. It's just too dangerous to do, right? We don't often see studies ran on pregnant women. It's not really a safe bet. So if you are pregnant and or breastfeeding, I would be careful. The data that we do have, I believe, was on monkeys, and it was at crazy high doses. So, and it was shown not to be terribly safe. So there's that. Now, what about all of you who are looking to get pregnant? There's a large population of people who are on GLP-1s, they're in their fertile years, and they are looking to become pregnant, and they're concerned because maybe they're actively trying to get pregnant, and they're not sure if taking these is safe. Well, it does seem that GLP-1s induce a more fertile state. And there's a couple reasons for this. This is also true in males as well. So I'm going to talk to you about a couple studies that I just quickly pulled up. And I want to say this, if you guys have questions about GLP-1s and any condition in particular, please don't ask me in the DMs. You guys have the power of Google just as well as I do. And I say this with love. And I talked about this the other day on my social media. If you don't learn how to research and find the information that you seek, you're to me, in my opinion, that's like fish in a barrel. Like, super dangerous place to be. If you cannot find the information that you seek and you do not know how to not only locate it, but just have a basic understanding of nutrition, at least, at the very least. Really, in the current world we live in, I just think that's it's a terrible place to be. And I'll tell you what happened during the last few years. I can't tell you how many of my colleagues came at me over the content I was talking about and creating around, you know what, the last few years. And they would just get mad at me and tell me that I was dangerous and whatever else. And then I would start drilling them about the studies that I had been pulling up. Like, what about this study? What about this study? What about this study? And they had no clue what I was talking about. And you know what they would all tell me? Oh, well, I'm busy seeing patients and you're not, so I don't have all day to do this. And I just wanted to scream, that's your frickin' job. Like, your frickin' job as a physician is to stay up on what's going on. So if you're a physician listening to this right now and you're not up on what's going on around these GLP-1 agonists, you are already like 3 years behind and you're going to be sorry that you don't have the information that you seek and you're not staying up with it in real time. I'm staying up with it in real time because I'm fascinated by this. And I actually have a whole course that you can sign up for, and I share all the data with you there, pages and pages and pages of data. But for the average, you know, person in the public who's not a doctor, I can see how it is daunting to try to figure out how to sort through this. But I want to tell you that all you have to do is go to Google, put in GLP-1 agonist and then put in whatever the condition is that you're concerned about, and then put the word scholar behind it, and it will pull up all of the studies for you. And the studies are not in Latin. You can read them. If you got through high school biology, you can read these studies. It doesn't mean you have to understand every detail of it, but I'll give you just the quick. Go to the, read the top, read the abstract. They often will give you the conclusion right there, and then scroll all the way down to the conclusion. Now, that's not going to give you everything, but it can get you started. And so asking me like, hey, I really want to take these, but I'm worried about this and my doctor doesn't know. A, get a new doctor. What the frick is wrong with a doctor who can't answer you about stuff or isn't willing to go look it up, right? And number two, you can look it up. So I'll leave it at that. Anyway, fertility. Problem number one with GLP-1 agonists is, as you know, they slow gastric motility. So if you're taking the birth control pill, your pill is not going to work as well because it's not absorbing into your bloodstream as quickly as it should. And so you may actually be more prone to becoming pregnant. So that's risk number one right there. Number two, it significantly improves blood sugar dysregulation, and it does so in a healing and regenerative fashion. I cannot emphasize this enough. I am so tired of listening to ignorant people online say, it's just a Band-Aid. It is not just a freaking Band-Aid, you guys. It quite literally is healing the pancreas. It's healing blood sugar handling on so many different levels, in the brain, at the cellular level, at the organ system level. So when you heal metabolic syndrome, which 96% of US adults, I would guess at this point, probably more have some version of metabolic dysfunction, which is daunting. That means 96% of you listening to this very likely have some version of metabolic dysfunction. You don't tend to become very fertile when that's happening. And I just did a podcast that you can go back and listen to all about pregnancy and prenatal metabolic dysfunction and what that's doing to pregnancy rates and to our offspring, but which is terrifying. But this has been going on a long time, you guys. There was a ton of infertility when I was actively in clinical practice and seeing lots of patients. That was a while ago. This is, I mean, that I was seeing this start way back when I started in practice, and we have only gotten much worse off since then. So we have a problem. And if we want to survive as a species, we have to get our metabolic health under control. The only problem is we're several generations into these epigenetic changes. And so while, yes, things can be done in real time, we're also looking at a couple generations back of metabolic dysfunction impacting our current fertility rates today. That's a bigger conversation. But yes, GLP-1s have a healing impact on metabolic health. And so what we're seeing is PCOS reversal quite quickly in many cases. Those women who were dealing with infertility due to the PCOS, because PCOS at the end of the day, I won't get into it here. That's probably needs a whole podcast in itself. It's a chicken and egg situation, but at its core is metabolic dysfunction and insulin resistance, like at its root. And so if that's not addressed through lifestyle, then none of the other stuff gets better. And it's an issue of metabolic dysfunction leading to high androgens and hormonal imbalances, ultimately. And there doesn't even have to be cysts on the ovaries. So I think they're in the process of renaming this, or they should be. I can't remember, to be honest with you. But at its core, you have to address the insulin resistance and the metabolic dysfunction. And then the hormones will balance themselves out better. You guys have heard me say this, especially to women my age. If you guys are running around in circles trying to do hormone balancing meals and hormone balancing supplements and hormone balancing everything, hormone balancing detoxes, none of that matters if your metabolic health isn't totally dialed in and intact. And women who are trying to do IVF, who are metabolically unstable and busted, it's like, it blows my mind watching women trying to get pregnant who are so clearly metabolically dysfunctional, but they're not addressing the metabolic dysfunction, right? So anyway, I digress. Yes, that is why women are becoming pregnant while using GLP-1 agonists, because it's healing their metabolic health, and their metabolic health quite literally is at the root core of most infertility issues, in my opinion, at least from what I saw clinically and from what I see in the data. So there's that. Not judging anyone. I'm just telling you that's how it is. So if you really want to get pregnant and you're not interested in using GLP-1s, work on your metabolic health. You can find out how where your metabolic health stands. I have a free guide on my website. It's called Assess Your Metabolic Health. And it's quite literally the diagnostic parameters, international diagnostic parameters for metabolic syndrome. And you can take that to your doctor and say, hey, work me up for this. I want to know. And then I've got a metabolic revamp toolkit where I deep dive into how to get started on dialing in your metabolic health. So there's that. And they're both, one's free, one's inexpensive, and they're both super helpful and chock full of information to get you started. So it's not as simple as like following a metabolically healthy diet. It's a whole thing. You have to do all the things. But I'll tell you, if you are veering off towards the type 2 diabetes land, if you have PCOS, you are headed towards type 2 diabetes. Let's just put it that way. GLP-1s are a very potent way to dial in your metabolic dysfunction, along with doing all the things. So anyway, go check out my free 4-part video series. I have a whole 4-part video series about GLP-1s you guys can check out. And I talk about, in part one, I talk about beyond weight loss, how GLP-1s impact the entire body. So you'll learn a little bit more there about how they're healing and regenerative. In part two, I talk about the big scaries that everybody's so concerned about and really, I think, overblowing in the media. And then I'm not discounting that side effects are happening, but you'll hear my argument in these videos. And in part three, I talk about how the dose makes the poison. That's really where I think the root problem is for a lot of these side effects we're seeing. And then in part four, I talk about some of the biggest pitfalls people are making who are on them and why it's so critical to do all the things and protect your muscle and strength train and do all of that while you're taking these so that you don't end up in a worse situation. So you can find that. It's at drtina.com/Ozempic Uncovered. And that takes me back to metabolic dysfunction and fertility. If metabolic dysfunction is at the root cause of many people's infertility issues, including males, then improving the metabolic health of that individual is going to make them more fertile. So let me share some studies with you. Let's jump into these real quick. The first one was the impact of GLP-1 agonists on male reproductive health, a narrative review. This was in December 2023, so recent. And it showed that recent studies show that the use of GLP-1 receptor agonists in obese males may enhance sperm metabolism, motility, and insulin secretion in vitro, along with positive effects on the human Sertoli cells. So this is in vitro, that's in a test tube, but really interesting. I'll link this in the show notes. You guys can check this out. And then this one is the effects of GLP-1 receptor agonists on pregnancy rate and menstrual cyclicity in women with polycystic ovary syndrome, a meta-analysis and systematic review. Let me briefly interject here. A lot of women are sitting kind of on the edge of PCOS and they don't know it. And so it's a nuanced diagnosis. Unfortunately, in our medical system, we wait until people are way over the edge of something before they finally get sorted out. And that's too bad because you can actually look on labs if you're astute as a physician and you can see when women are heading into PCOS. I mean, I've seen it in children. I've seen on their labs that they were showing glimmers of what was to come. And sure enough, when those young girls hit puberty, they started showing signs of PCOS. So we can figure this out by looking at people's metabolic markers, maybe looking at their hormones, looking at their liver enzymes. I mean, this isn't rocket science. We just need more people actually looking for it. So the conclusion of this study was the present study reveals that the use of GLP-1 receptor agonist contributes to a higher natural pregnancy rate and a more regular menstrual frequency, improvement in obesity, insulin resistance, gonadal parameters, mainly in sex hormone binding globulin. So really interesting study here, and I'll make sure this is in the show notes. This is from This study was published in November of 2023. So both are fairly recent. So anyway, that's it. Yes, there are Ozempic babies and Mounjaro babies because when you improve metabolic health, you improve fertility in both males and females. And that improves pregnancy rates and improves the health of the pregnancy. And it actually improves significantly the long-term outcomes for these children, these offspring, and their epigenetic markers. So I will leave you with that. Again, talk to your doctor, please. I am not your doctor. I'm not advising you, but I've gotten this question enough that I wanted to make sure to cover it in this episode of The Quick and Dirty, and we will be back. Thanks for listening to The Dr. Tina Show. Please be sure to follow me on Instagram at Dr. Tina, that's D-R-T-Y-N-A, and Dr. Tina 2.0, as well as visit my website at drtina.com. This is a Resonant Media production produced by Drake Peterson and mixed by Chris McCone. The theme song is by John the Gilt. As always, you can email the show at podcast@drtina.com. And if you like this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast app. See you next week. This podcast is for general informational purposes only. It does not constitute the practices of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice. I am a doctor, but I am not your doctor. No doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of this information and the materials linked to this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content on this podcast is intended not to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice from any medical condition they have, and they should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions.